Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming you back to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast here on HoopFeed. It's great to be back with you, and we're going to go a little early this week. We're going to run this on a Tuesday, not our usual Thursdays, because I wanted to catch up with the University of Kentucky's head coach, Matthew Mitchell, on his availability, and he is really busy as can be right now with this schedule. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, David. Great to be with you again.
Boy, Coach, you're in the midst of a tough stretch, you know, a couple of tough ones, dropped a couple in a row that were definitely tough games. Florida on their place is always difficult. And now you got this big one coming up on Thursday. South Carolina has certainly been the top of the SEC so far, haven't they?
They have. They play great, and they're an extremely talented team and well-coached. Dawn does a great job. And so they are having a great season, and our league is very, very difficult right now. Yesterday at Florida was a tough game. Amanda really has the Gators playing well. And as all the coaches in the league are doing a great job this year, it's a very balanced league. And, you know, we are working hard for improvement right now, Dave.
You know, it's funny, Coach. I was looking at the standings as they sit right now, and you know, you see South Carolina, Florida, and Mississippi State up on top there, and then A&M and Missouri. And I went back and looked to the beginning when you first started as head coach at Kentucky, the 07-08 season. Sorry, I don't mean to make you that old. And South Carolina was 8th, Florida was 11th, Mississippi State was 6th, and A&M and Missouri weren't even in the conference. So things have certainly changed since when you first started there, haven't they?
They have, and they really changed for Kentucky as well. Where, you know, when we first got to Kentucky, we had only been to 6 NCAA tournaments in the history of the program, and now we've been to 6 in a row, and working hard to get our 7th in a row this year. And a lot of teams have transformed in much in the manner that we have over the past few years. So it's a healthy league. It's a league where, you know, even though South Carolina has won all their games, they've had some really close ones. So it's a league where anybody on any night or afternoon can win. And I think it's just going to make us all really, really tough for those of us who get into postseason play. I think it's going to prepare us, and I think you'll see the Southeastern Conference really do well in this postseason because of the strength of the league.
And there's no doubt that your team has certainly been one of the top teams in the conference for the last several years. Of course, you know, maybe this year the NCAA committee won't put you in the same bracket as UConn for a change.
You never know. You just have to play where they put you. And right now we're just working hard to try to improve so we can be a dangerous team in March. And we just need to win a few more games so we can get in the tournament. And our kids are really, really working hard. They're a young team. Our inexperience gets us sometimes, but we'll just keep practicing and playing the games and really feel like we'll end up being a good team by the end of it.
You mentioned how young the team is. This is definitely an unusual year for Kentucky. You know, you had a couple of players transfer out. You had some injuries and issues off the court with different things. Hey, even you got injured, you know, with your knee. Nobody was safe on this team this year.
Right.
But you are running a short roster in terms of bodies, but you're running a tall roster, which is something, you know, that is a little bit different. You guys have always been strong on the guard play in the 40 minutes of dread. But, you know, with especially Evelyn Okafor, you guys are playing strong inside, too, and adjusting to that type of game.
Yeah, we're doing well there, and our post players, while Evelyn's a junior, this is really her first year in major college basketball, and so our post group is very young and inexperienced, but they work extremely hard, and I think that you've seen some of their hard work show up in games, and I think that as we progress in this season and into next season, I really think you're going to see these players blossom, and it's great to have some depth there. We need to, you know, make some easier plays that, we're missing right now because we're just kind of going too fast and working a little too hard sometimes, and we slow it down. But that, comes with experience and reps, and so I'm excited about our front court.
One of the things that I've always been on the my soapbox about is that there is a problem, I think, in college basketball in getting the ball into the post, that there is a lot of weakness in that entry pass. And, you know, when you haven't had to do it, it becomes very difficult. But when I was watching the game against Florida, it seems that the team is getting, you know, you could see the development from games I saw earlier on in the season, especially with, you know, someone like your senior leaders, you know, and Janae Thompson as the senior and, you know, Michaela Epps as a junior, but both of them showed a lot of patience in trying to get the ball inside.
Yeah, that's something that we need to do. And, you know, yesterday Florida put a lot of pressure on us, and we didn't always handle that well and turn the ball over too much. But it's a work in progress, David. It is something that we have to be real patient with. What the beauty of basketball is, you know, if you can just play well enough to get into the tournament, it gives you some time to get your team playing their best. And then, you know, everybody's record gets evened up, and the slate is wiped clean. If you can get into the NCAA tournament, everybody's undefeated at that point. And then it becomes, you know, can you win and advance to the next round? So, you know, we have we've lost a bunch of games here in the conference, and but it is really a team that I think is going to benefit from more time. And I think we can really round into a very dangerous team if we can just keep our attitudes positive, keep our work ethic where it is now. I think you'll see some things happen for our young team.
Well, you've convinced some people because, you know, today Charlie Cream had an article on ESPN's website where he rated who he thought, as of now, the top 16 teams were and who should be the top 16 seeds. And he had you as the number 16 team in the country right now. So despite those losses, there's certainly people are realizing that this is a talented group of players, and you know, your success certainly backs that up with the way that you've made the tournament each of the last several years and progressed. So that's definitely a factor. And but one thing I did want to talk to you about, in particular about Janae Thompson for a second, and the comeback from that hellacious injury that she suffered, and the fact that I think I recall a young player ever just coming back that unencumbered the next year from something like that.
She's a tough person. She really has grown and developed so much during her time here at Kentucky as a person. And that is part of it, is what a tough injury that was. But she just put her head down and went to work and did everything asked of her in her rehabilitation, and has just been a huge part of our team. So a lot of admiration. You know, people, you know, may forget sometimes she has a piece of metal in her leg, you know, holding her bones together, and still goes out and plays, you know, major minutes for us, is a major factor for us, really, really does a great job. Working hard. Every time we've had any type of disappointment, she's been able to bounce back, and just really proud of her and what she's been able to accomplish after that terrible injury.
And the other person on your team I need to discuss is one of my favorite players to watch in the country, and that is Michaela Epps, because she just has so many facets to her game. And, you know, one of the things that amazed me yesterday watching was, you know, she used to be the type of player that she would, at least it would seem that she would get a little bit frustrated if she wasn't getting her shots, and she would take some ill-advised shots, and you'd have to kind of rein her in a little bit. But yesterday, when the game started with them putting such effort on denying her opportunities, she had no problem just making plays and not forcing the ball and not forcing the shots, knowing that the game was going to come to her eventually.
Yeah, she is having a great junior season, and David, she's also gotten better at handling adversity, and that shows her growth as a person. And you know, she went through a suspension last spring and summer, mm-hmm. and into the fall, and I really feel like it helped her transformed as a person, helped her develop, helped her improve. And that's really what I think all of us in coaching and in education should be doing, is trying to, you know, make a major difference in young people's lives. And, you know, we were faced with a difficult circumstance there with having to suspend her, but the way she's responded to it has just been one of the real joys of my coaching career, just to see her development as a person. And we say this all the time, better people make better players. And, you know, they're not, I just don't believe that you can be a knucklehead off the court and ultimately succeed on the court. I just think at some point in time that's going to get you. And then also we have to think about, you know, playing basketball was a temporary situation. Father time catches up with everybody. And so really what we have to be doing is trying to develop them as people. And that's what I'm most proud about Michaela, is I think she's made huge strides and continues to make those. And, you know, she's not a finished product by any means. She has more room for growth, and she's working hard for that. But I'm really pleased with what we have seen so far, and I'm excited for her future.
You know, one of the things that really does make it fun for me to talk to you is just what you just described, the off-the-court side of things, too. I mean, everybody knows that you put your money where your mouth is. You put endowed large scholarships in school. But one thing that jumped out at me whenever I do my research and look at the websites and look and see who the players' biographies and such, you guys have down written right on their bio the Cats' cause and showing where they have contributed off the court and what they've gotten involved in, each of the individual players. And it shows, and it's not just the one, you know, one thing, oh, they did this because they had to. There's always multiple things listed, and the team is very active in the community. And you have shown that this is a significant factor of being part of Kentucky's program, the way that you conduct yourself off the court, too. And that also goes into the players. And, you know, you've had some dismissals from the team for various reasons as well. And it just goes with the responsibility of being a student athlete at Kentucky.
Well, so many of us in college athletics, David, are in these wonderful communities where the university is such a big, big part of the community. And Lexington's that way. It is, people love the University of Kentucky. People in this Commonwealth love Kentucky, love the university. And so when you have that, you have some responsibility. We're the most visible group of young women in this state. There's no question about that. So we have a platform that's available to us, and so how are we going to choose to use that is an important question that you have to ask yourself and then you have to answer. And so what we have decided here is we're very blessed. God's been very good to Jenna and me, my wife, to lead us to a place like Kentucky. Been very, very good to us to give us a platform. And so what we've chosen to do is try to really do good with that. And this is a very dynamic community, full of opportunity. And as we try to prepare our players for the rest of their lives, we want to emphasize how important it is when you are blessed with the kind of talent that these young women are blessed with. It gives you the opportunity to impact people's lives. And so we want to do that in a real positive manner. We want to be great stewards of this opportunity that we have. And we want to try to make a difference in other people's lives. And so what I've always found, the more I give to others, the more I benefit. You know, you think you're giving and you're doing for others, but it really benefits you. It really strengthens your life and makes your life better. So there's no downside in giving. There's no downside in helping other people who are maybe in a less fortunate position. And that's just something we really try to stress here.
You know, and Coach, the other thing is you've always been one of my heroes, because I know one daughter, and you go home to a wife and three daughters. So is the dog male at least? Do you have somebody? You know?
We are having a good time with that too, David. You know, we have a very active program and a bunch of young women in the program and people that we're trying to develop. But then you get home and you find out who really – is in charge of this world, and that's a 4-year-old and 2-year-old, and I've got two young girls, and I'm real proud of my adult daughter. She's doing a great job too, but It's a house full of opportunity to try to be a good dad, because they are all over it right now. It's definitely busy around the Mitchell house.
I'm sure it is. Coach, there is one last topic I wanted to discuss with you. Now, I've been talking with various coaches throughout the year, and one of them was Melanie Balcom, who was very vocal about the way that some of these kids are transferring now. And it's something that's been a part of your program for a number of years. You've had people that have come and go. But I've never seen so many transfers that were players that were getting significant playing time, playing significant roles, that just decided, okay, now I'm going to go. What are your thoughts on the transfer rules and responsibilities and the fact that these student-athletes seem to be able to and are willing to jump despite having, you know, you always had the guy, the girl there, the guy or girl that didn't want to get enough playing time.
Yeah.
But you've had, you know, someone in Lene Harper, Georgia Tech, lost Kayla Davis, you know, going back to North Carolina and their whole crew. Yeah, it's just something that, you know, really is, to me, it's a disturbing trend.
Well, all I can tell you is what we're trying to do at Kentucky is build a culture of responsibility that is going to benefit you while you play basketball, but it's also impacting you and benefiting you after you're done, because, you know, we could go down a list of all the greatest players of all time. They can't play forever. So there has to be something more than just playing the game. And so, you know, I think as coaches, what we need to try to do is figure out what are we about, what is Kentucky about, and then you have to recruit the right kind of people who want the same thing that you want and want the same experience. And so, listen, you're not going to be perfect on that, and people are going to enter in your program sometimes with, you know, great intentions to do well, and sometimes it doesn't work out. I think that when you see a lot of it happening, it just comes down to people are not in the right fit. And so as me as a coach, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build stronger relationships earlier in the process. Don't worry about rankings. Don't worry about accolades. Really try to identify what kind of people and what kind of person can be successful at Kentucky and who wants to be successful at Kentucky and who wants what we have. Listen, we're not the only program you can come to in America and be successful, but we are going to do it the Kentucky way. And so I think as coaches, what we need to do is a better job of identifying who's going to fit in our program. And, you know, I think we're all trying to adjust and learn what you do your very best. You know, Melanie and I were talking before our game last Thursday and sort of talking about this issue. You just have to do a great job of figuring out who you are and what your program's about and then recruit to that. And so I think where I'm trying to focus in and do a better job is really finding the right people who want to be here, knowing you're not always going to get it right, and you're going to have some turnover and some departure. But I think the better job you can do on identifying the right kind of people and who want what you have to offer, I think that you'll see that decrease. So that's where we are with that.
Well, Coach, you know, the AP poll has just come out. You're ranked number 18th this week, but a little win over South Carolina this week would have a little impact on that going forward, I would say. Good luck in Thursday's game, and I want to thank you for taking time in the middle of this difficult stretch of games you got to take time to talk to us again. It's always a pleasure to talk hoops with you.
It's always great to talk with you, David, and I really appreciate it, and I know everyone else that loves women's college basketball and women's basketball appreciates your contribution. So thanks so much for having me on, and I look forward to our next time we can be together.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.